After beating Utah last year, BYU lost at home to Kansas. Do we believe BYU can avoid the emotional letdown this time on the road at Iowa State? Fox play-by-play announcer Jason Benetti will join the show today to break down the key matchups between the Cougs and the Clones.
ESPN college basketball analysts Sean Farnham and Seth Greenberg detail their high expectation for BYU basketball this season. And Yegor Dioman made his NBA debut last night for the Brooklyn Nets. What stood out from his debut?
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Today is Thursday, October 23rd. I am Jason Shepherd. He is a guy that apparently missed the flight home last night. Jerem, what are you doing, buddy? I'm the one that's supposed to want to stay in Kansas City.
I know. Wait a minute. I guess I wanted more barbecue or something. We thought we were going to be working late into the night. Didn't end up doing that. So, yeah, I very well could have come home with you guys. But here we are, still in Kansas City. So I guess we'll have to eat some more delicious barbecue here in Kansas City. But yesterday at BYU Men's Basketball Media Day, the boys were having fun. A.J. DiBonsa and Rob Wright III and Richie Saunders, they were having a good time. You know, you're shooting over the Better Call Saul blow-up thing in a basketball hoop. AJ's getting some shots up, which was great. And then later, a little one-on-one with athletic director Brian Santiago, who people forget, played at Fresno State. He could shoot the three. He could play. So, yeah, a little one-on-one on the mini hoop, which was fun. I dunked on those hoops. I don't know if you did, Shep, but had a great time behind me at T-Mobile Center here in Kansas City at Big 12 Basketball Media Days. Much more coverage coming up later on the program today and into next week.
Yeah, I don't know if it's been posted yet, but there is a video that will go up on our social media platforms. At least I assume it's going to go up soon, of Jerem and I actually shooting on that same basket where you had the arms that are flailing. So basically what I'm telling you is Jerem and I and AJ were all making buckets on that rim. And by Jerem and I mean we didn't make any of them.
Word on the street is the video wasn't good enough. They probably won't post it. So.
Oh, well, that's a shame. That really is a shame that they're not going to see us missing all of those. I mean, making all of those shots. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Staff that puts them in position to succeed if they execute well.
There's so much resilience in our team. Things don't go just right. They just find ways to win.
If BYU is worthy of being in the top 10, they will have a chance to prove it now.
What's Trending is presented by Intermountain Healthcare, the official medical provider of BYU Athletics. And got a big matchup this weekend in Ames, Iowa, number 11 and undefeated at 7-0 BYU, looking to build off the emotional victory over Utah this past Saturday as they head to the Midwest, not too far from where Jerem is right now. After the win over Utah, head coach Kalani Sitake spoke in the locker room about avoiding an emotional letdown.
Listen, last year we won the game, right? And then we lost the next one. And they lost their next one. So we got to figure that out. You guys with me?
Yes, sir.
Right? So that means we got to work hard after this is done. But we got to play hard and have fun too.
So as Kalani mentioned, after beating Utah in Salt Lake City last year, BYU came home. They lost to Kansas. And now everybody's making sure that they talk about the fact that they do not want that to happen this year. And it starts this weekend in Ames. Jerem, do you believe it will be different this year at Iowa State?
I do, and there's a couple of circumstances that are different, Shep. Last year was so dramatic. You had fourth and hold. You had Will Farron from 44 for number 44. You had Will Farron crowd surfing at 3 a.m. after getting home and the students were there. I mean, that was an all-time win against Utah in a dramatic way. It was dramatic, but it wasn't that dramatic. BYU led most of the game. They expected to win that game. Yes, they came back, but it was a rockin' LES. It's a little different. Also, this team's been through it before. That was a 5-7 team that suddenly got to 9-0 last year. This team expected to be good. I don't know if they expected 7-0, but certainly they are at this point. And, you know, it's Bear Bachmeyer and a freshman quarterback, as a freshman quarterback and so on and so forth. It's just a little different. There isn't a beat-up quarterback going through things on and off the field like Jake Retzlaff was last year. Also, Kansas was on a heater. They had beaten two ranked teams as an unranked team. Then they beat BYU. No unranked team had ever won three ranked games in a row like that as an unranked. And so Iowa State is a better team than Kansas was last year. But I think this BYU team is different. It's more about where BYU is mentally. Also, they acknowledge what happened last year. And I think they are prepared. I think they've moved on early in the week. I think Monday, maybe even Sunday, emotionally and physically, they were on to Iowa State. So I do think it's different. Yet, Iowa State comes in very hungry, Shep. They've lost two in a row. They had a bye week. And now they host the top-ranked team in the Big 12. It's an opportunity for the Clones to turn their season back to where they want to be. And BYU's walking into a pit here where they need to respond well. And I think they will.
Yeah, I'm with you. I do feel it will be different. And I think one of the biggest reasons is, look, we've all gone through things in our lives where when we go through it for the first time, you don't necessarily really know how to handle it. But you then, having gone through it before, the next time similar circumstances come up, you feel a lot better on how you're going to handle it. So being able to have last year where you're coming off that emotional win and you're 9-0 and you've just beaten Utah in Salt Lake City, I mean, and it's just it was a grind and physical and everything that goes into those games. And then you had the letdown against Kansas. Knowing how it went last time and for it to be something that right after the game, Kalani Sitake brought up, it is top of mind. It is at the forefront of their conversations. That is not by mistake that Kalani mentioned that as one of the very first things he talked about. They know what happened last time, and they are determined to make sure that that is not going to be something that hampers them in this game. And I agree with you 100%, Jerem. This is going to be a test. It's going to be a test for a couple of reasons. Number one, Ames, regardless of what Iowa State's record is a tough place to play. That community shows up. They will be loud. That place will be packed. It's an unbelievable place for a football game. So the crowd is going to be energetic. They're going to be in it regardless of what the record of their team is. But you're getting a very determined Iowa State team. You already mentioned it, having coming off two losses. They have not won a game since the 27th of September. So they're coming up on a full month when you talk about the two losses in a row and then the bye week. They are determined, and BYU is going to get the very best that Iowa State has. But I think BYU is better prepared this time around than they were a year ago.
Iowa State's won 9 of their last 10 at home. I mean, they are very good at home, to your point. Moving on, which matchups do you believe will determine the outcome of the game Saturday?
Yeah, for me, I look at what the BYU defense has done all season long, and then specifically against the opposing quarterback. And this will be a little different in terms of skill set than what the Cougars have faced in recent weeks. Obviously, you've got a lot of guys that are dual threats. Specifically last week, you really weren't that concerned about Devin Dampier's passing ability. That is something that you have to pay attention to with Rocco Becht. He can certainly make plays with his legs as well, but he's got a fantastic arm. The thing that he is going to be a little bit hindered with is the fact that he doesn't have a couple of his receivers. Now, he does get his starting running back in Carson Hansen. That will certainly help to alleviate some of the pressure on his shoulders. But this is a guy that is just a gamer. He's tough. He's hard-nosed. So for me, the matchup is, can BYU's defense continue to handle the opposing quarterback like we've seen the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, Abu Sama's good as the other running back. They got a nice 1-2 punch there with Hansen coming back. More on the tight ends in a second. But I look at BYU's run game, which is its identity, versus the front seven, or front six in this case, because Iowa State runs a 3-3-5. BYU 10th in rushing offense in the country at 233 a game. Iowa State 64th in rushing defense. That's how BYU won last week. They were able to run the ball. And there will be running lanes. This defense for Iowa State has only given up 400-plus one time all year, Shep. It was against Cincinnati. Make it twice now with BYU going 400-plus on Saturday. LJ Martin, by the way, number one running back in the Big 12 in rushing yards total, which he has more than he's ever had in a season at BYU so far, with 774 rush yards per game at 111. And then second in yards per carry at 6.1. This O-line, LJ, Bear in the run game, they've been spectacular. Other matchups I'm thinking about. Take care of the football, obviously, always. That was big last week. Another one, play from ahead. Iowa State trailed Cincinnati 31-7 in the first half. Iowa State came back, made it a game, but Cincinnati got a big lead. They only scored 7 in the second half, but they put up 38 against that defense. And then Iowa State trailed for the final 20 against Colorado. Get a lead, keep a lead. BYU's played with fire, but been successful so far, winning 3 one-score games so far this year. Does BYU have another fourth quarter comeback in them? We've certainly seen it. I would love to not have to deal with that in this game, but I'll take a win by one plus. And then the other thing is slow down Iowa State's tight ends. They used some 14 personnel last week, 4 tight ends on the field. The top 3 pass catchers in this offense are all tight ends. They are missing Higgins and Noel, who are on the Texans. Chase Sowell's been good, but he's not been like those guys. So look at Ben Bramer, Brett Eskildson, and Gabe Burkle. That's where Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker and Falatau Satua specifically lining up with those tight ends in the run game with run fits, in the gaps, as well as in the pass game will be key.
Well, and I think this BYU offense is going to have plenty of opportunities to score on the Cyclone defense. They are really banged up, and you've been able to see during the 2-game losing streak, teams been able to score on them. Cincinnati, probably the biggest culprit in that in terms of being able to put up points. And as you mentioned, you kind of put them up early and had this cushion throughout the entire game. But I think we've seen what the blueprint is for this BYU offense, and it starts with what you were talking about with LJ Martin on the ground. His ability to be able to stay healthy and be available so far for BYU has been a game changer and one of the main reasons why this team is undefeated this far into the season. Him being able to run the ball certainly sets up the pass for Bear Bachmeier, as long as BYU can keep that ground game going and then allow Bear Bachmeier to pick and choose his spots to make those plays down the field, BYU is going to have chances to score in this game in Ames. And that brings us to our question of the day. BYU lost to Kansas after beating Utah last year. Do you believe it will be different this year at Iowa State? Our first response comes on X from K.R. Mercer, 1525, says, based on how many mentions it's getting from coaches, staff, and players, I think everyone in the program is very aware of the potential post-rivalry letdown. Yeah, that's kind of the way I looked at it. It was not by accident that Kalani mentioned that as soon as the game was over. Also on X, long LPA, yes, simply because Coach Satake is aware and already taking steps to buck that trend. This team is special and mentally stronger than teams in years past, it seems. All right, you can continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and on Instagram.
Last night, Yegor Dioman made his NBA debut. Shep, first Cougar to play in an NBA game since Elijah Bryant back in 21 with the Milwaukee Bucks. What did you think of his debut where he scored 14 points?
Yeah, I was able to watch a little bit of it on the plane home, and I'm just happy for him. 14 points, and he was super efficient, 4 of 6 from the field, all threes, by the way, hit 3 threes, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. His game is perfect for the NBA because he has the ball handling skills, he can shoot, he's obviously got the size. I was so happy for him, especially because he has not played most of their preseason games. They were kind of holding him out with some nagging injuries. So the fact that he was able to come in and in his first game, you know, beginning the season, have that type of performance, I thought that was pretty cool for him.
He's kind of playing combo guard, which surprised us, right? Pre-draft, we thought, hey, this is the best point guard in the draft here, perhaps, but best passer at least. And he was more of a shooter. He's holding the ball up a little higher when he released it. He's shooting it confident. Someone said, hey, what was it like to get on a roll there? And he said, frankly, I've been shooting like this in the preseason. This is who I am. I didn't get on a roll per se. Not offended, but kind of like, I just shoot well. I wasn't shooting well today. I just shoot well all the time. So happy for him. Excited to see what he can do. Certainly hope the Nets have some success because that was a blowout for the most part. So he was getting those shots up, which is good. Just get into a rhythm and shoot like he's been shooting, like he said. But I'm excited to watch him play, man. It's fun to have Cougars in the NBA. And certainly we look forward to AJ and Richie next year at this time, talking about them in the NBA. It's going
to
be great.
Yeah, amen to that. All right, Kelly Ford published a list of what record is needed for teams to be in the at-large conversation. And they have BYU needing a 10-2 record to be in that at-large conversation. Do you agree with that?
I do. I don't think a 9-3 BYU is in the conversation. And 10-2, it kind of depends how that happens, Shep. ESPN says BYU's strength of schedule is 60th right now, but the remaining schedule is 19th. We've talked about how hard it's going to be. It's top 20. When you lose, who you lose to, and how you lose, that all matters. That all matters. The 10-2 conversation probably would mean for BYU to be in that convo realistically. If they lost close, tight, competitive games the next 2 weeks, Shep, then won the final three, didn't make it to Arlington, we're sitting there at 10-2, were interesting, had captured the nation's attention. Maybe in those last three they put up some style points like they did against Stanford. Then we're talking about maybe BYU being in the conversation about an at-large, but I'm just not that confident after last year's situation. There's some scar tissue, some PTSD of BYU having a resume that deserves maybe a little more and not getting it. So I don't know. If this was a 16-team college football playoff, I'd feel a little more confident about the situation you presented. But in the 12-team, I don't know, man. I think it's going to require a one-loss BYU or situationally two-loss maybe to get in the conversation. We're not talking about getting in, though. Being in the conversation, I think two-loss, they're absolutely in the convo. But who cares? If you're not in, you're not in. You're either in or out.
Yeah, and to me, this is kind of an obvious answer. Yeah, 10-2. I think that's the least. You know what? I'm with you. Three losses, and I don't think that you're in the conversation at all. And that's why there are a lot of teams that with, you know, four or five games left on the schedule, you know, one more loss and they are essentially out of the running. So, yeah, I think minimum BYU's got to go 10-2. And I think at that point you are in the conversation to what you said in terms of, you know, BYU historically not necessarily getting the benefit of the doubt and, you know, people not willing to give them maybe the little extra push that maybe some other teams or programs get. You know, it's tough to say that you can only have one loss because I think there's going to be a lot of others that have two losses that will get in. But I'm with you. You know, if you have only one loss, I think then you're in excellent shape. But I think the minimum you have to have is probably a 10-2 record. So, yeah, to me, it's kind of an obvious answer. All right. Number 11, BYU, as we've been talking about, on the road this week at Iowa State. Here is your broadcast schedule. BYU Sports Nation Game Day on BYU TV starts at 1:30 Eastern Time. Cougar pregame live with yours truly on BYU Radio, also at 1:30 Eastern. And then the Cougars and the Cyclones from Ames on Fox and on BYU Radio at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Don't forget postgame coverage beginning immediately after the game on both BYU TV and on BYU Radio. All right, coming up next, Fox play-by-play announcer Jason Benetti joins the program to preview BYU and Iowa State. Which matchups will he be watching the closest? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics.
Ah, yes, what a night in Provo. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU sports play-by-play. I'm Jason Shepherd here in our BYUB studios, along with Jerem Jordan in Kansas City. And joining us now, you heard him on the call. He and RG3 were here in Provo calling BYU versus Utah. Fox play-by-play announcer Jason Benetti joining us here on BYU Sports Nation. Jason, thank you so much for taking a few minutes. How are you?
I'm great. My pleasure. And what a scene that was on Saturday night. My goodness.
Yeah, it was quite the game. And I do want to go back to the call that we heard. The bear on the loose in Provo. I have two questions for this. Number one, did you have that in your back pocket in case something like that happened? And then the follow-up to that is, How aware are you of how iconic that call is and will be in BYU football history?
First of all, I did not have it at the ready. Like, I'm not a script guy, but the way my mind works, when I see a name like Bear or Tiger, like, I just start to have vivid imagery of, like, bears and tigers, right? So wherever it's going to go, it's going to go. I will say I'm honored. Somebody tweeted at me that there was a, like, somebody's kid did, like, an art project of a bear on the loose in Provo. And I love that the kids are getting involved. No, I just enjoy really awesome athletic feats. And, like, to watch it happen energizes me and Robert and our entire crew. And it's the greatest thing about sports, that when you have a whole bunch of people in one place and you have a whole bunch of emotion and an atmosphere, stuff just rolls through your mind as a fan and as a viewer, and it just, it kind of came out of nowhere for me. But I love rivalries like that because it charges up, they charge up my mind.
Jason, that was a great call. You're affecting the children of America. I think that's great work by you. We're excited you're on the call for the game this week again, which is awesome with RG3. You guys are a great duo. What did you take away from that BYU-Utah game in terms of what BYU's becoming and what that win meant? And that environment at Lavelle Edwards Stadium was electric.
Yeah, it's a really tough team. I mean, they play tough. And even if they have to punt or they, you know, have a fourth down go awry, they're tough and they're resilient and they care. And I think that's a big deal. And I also get the sense, in this world of transfers and the world of the portal and all that, and I don't even say that with disdain, I just really love seeing teams who build culture and build togetherness. I think it now becomes a superpower and it becomes weaponry in college football if you have guys playing for one another, truly, deeply playing for one another. And I feel that after talking to some of the BYU players and the coaching staff, and Kalani has done a marvelous job of pointing this team in that direction. I love that after the game, he mentioned in the locker room, like, hey, we lost the game after Utah last year, and so did they, by the way. Utah lost the game after BYU last year. He's like, we got to get that figured out. I mean, I'm sure a lot of your viewers have seen the clip. I just love the togetherness of this group.
When you look, Jason, about the performance in that game on the field or certain performances from specific people, what or who impressed you in that BYU victory?
You talk about a rugged runner outside of Bear Bachmeier. I mean, LJ Martin's four and a half yards per touch, right? His ability to break tackles has been really important to this team. And in that game where you had to grind out some drives, his patience plus his toughness created a problem. I mean, look, BYU is top 15 in the country in run percentage, so they're going to need productivity. But, you know, as of this weekend, BYU was 28th, according to Pro Football Focus, 28th in yards per carry, but they're 14th in yards after contact per carry. So they're getting even more production than their average, which is well above FBS average in the first place, after the first touch of a defender. And I think a lot of that is Bear Bachmeier, but another big chunk of it is LJ Martin. And that was, the offensive line deserves some credit there too. But when there was a tackler, his ability to get through the first one stood out to me.
Jason, this is a massive game for BYU at Iowa State. It's part of a gauntlet we've been talking about that will really determine the season. BYU's a 2.5-point dog. Certainly Vegas has their agendas. But what do you make of this matchup of an Iowa State team that's coming off a bye and has lost twice in a row and needs to win two?
Yeah, the Big 12 is a wild ride, is where I land on that. I'm surprised that somebody would consider BYU an underdog after the show they've put on so far this year. But, like, as you know, like, you know, you have to go prove it every week. I mean, Texas Tech lost at Arizona State without their quarterback, certainly last week. But we've seen enough odd results in the Big 12 over the past couple of years that I just assume everything at the top of the league is going to be a one possession game one way or the other. That's the way it's generally gone. I think BYU does deserve more credit than they've gotten, though. And that's a nebulous concept. But I think this is a really good football team, especially considering what we talked about before, the team concept. I think that's very difficult to quantify and is something that gets lost in the shuffle sometimes. So for me, I think BYU does deserve more credit than they're getting. But again, Iowa State opened the season 5-0. Like, I wouldn't blame somebody for thinking Iowa State is better than those losses to Cincinnati and Colorado either.
Jason Benetti joining us here on BYU Sports Nation, Fox play-by-play announcer. He was on the call with RG3 this past weekend, and we have the pleasure of having the two of them this weekend as BYU heads to Ames to take on Iowa State. And Jason, I realize that it's all about this year and what BYU has done now, but if you open that up just a little bit and you look over the last 20 games, BYU is 18-2. What do you make of what Kalani Sitake as the head coach, but also Jay Hill on the defensive side, Aaron Roderick on the offense, what do you make of what they have done with this program over the last couple of years?
Yeah, you know, people in college football talk a lot about complementary football and making sure the offense and defense and special teams are working in concert. I get the sense that this is very much that kind of concept at BYU. You know, the defense has been really good in a lot of ways. The offense, I mean, we were talking about some of those running stats, right? The offense has run the ball 90 times, top 20 in the country, with eight players or more in the box defensively. What that means to me is an identity, a very clear identity that, like, toughness and grit and running the ball is going to matter for this team. They lean on what they do well, and credit to Aaron and the offensive staff too. There's some inventive play calling in there. There's, you know, Robert Griffin III shares with our crew some clips from the previous weeks and some of the inventive play calls, including the Parker Kingston throw that didn't work, but like some of the formations and the motions and the two back stuff and getting Preston Rex in last week for that sort of modified wheel down the sideline. Like there's a lot of really good inventive play call stuff in there as well. But I think the word that I would use in a non-cliched way is identity, because these coaches have known each other for so long and they deal so well together in as a football tactical outfit.
We were struck by the comment that was great from Matt Campbell saying, I respect Kalani Sitake to the point where I'd want my son to play for him. The previous week we had a coach who wouldn't even talk about Bear Bachmeyer. So these two coaches respect each other a lot. But I want to know which matchups stick out to you in this one, because I've noticed, hey, if you love tight end play, both these teams are going to get them involved in the pass game and a lot in the run game too.
Yeah, it's a fascinating tight end game. I agree with you, Jerem. We were talking to Kalani just real quick. I think there's a lot of respect from Witt to Kalani and Kalani to Witt. They handle this rivalry totally differently. But, you know, I didn't want that to go without saying. But as for this matchup, like, Iowa State runs as much one back, two tight end as anybody in the country. And they like to run out of it. But Ben Bramer, who is 6'7", is a massive target. And they've run some really interesting stuff with him over the course of the year, including like some jet sweep stuff as well. So I think he's a major target. I think the blocking ability of the tight ends is important in this game too. I mean, we saw Carson Ryan have a really nice day against Utah, but college football is so driven by personnel, especially in tempo-based games. And this isn't going to be one of those necessarily, but it's so driven by personnel, and everybody wants a tight end that can block and receive because it gives you so many options. And Iowa State has a couple of really good tight ends that have been around the program for a while, almost at the exclusion of the wide receivers. Now, they lost most of their wide receiver room to the Houston Texans last year, but I think those tight ends, and again, with the matchup of guys like Kelly and Glasker in the linebacker spot, and those safeties will be important. We saw the Tanner Wall interception on the way in, but those safeties and linebackers are going to be pressed by those tight ends this week for sure.
All right, Jason, one last question before we let you go. And again, we appreciate you joining us today. And we do want to switch gears. So hopefully you will allow us for one baseball question. And to preface this, you need to know this is a very sore subject that we're even talking baseball because Jerem is a Seattle Mariners fan. So just know that going in that he's not going to want to talk about this very
much. Too soon, Shep.
I apologize. It's got to be asked, though. We got the World Series. We got the Toronto Blue Jays. We've got the LA Dodgers. How do you think this World Series plays out?
Yeah, I think it feels a little bit like what we were talking about with BYU earlier. Like, do you deserve more credit? I think the Blue Jays deserve more credit. I think generally the public feels like the Dodgers are a juggernaut, and rightfully so. They just crushed the Brewers' spirits in the CS and have had this big, long layoff that I'm sure people are going to talk about. But the Blue Jays have a bullpen that has a bunch of interesting arm angles. They haven't been overexposed to the Dodgers, only playing the one series at the end of the year. So I think this goes like six games, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Blue Jays really gave them a run, in part because of that home field advantage when they play in Toronto.
All right, BYU fans, you can see Jason and Robert Griffin III. They'll be on the call Saturday, 3:30 Eastern on Fox. Jason, we really appreciate you taking a few minutes. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and have a great call this Saturday in Ames.
Guys, thank you. Pleasure.
All right, number 17, BYU women's volleyball on the road at number 19, Baylor tonight. Coverage begins at 8 Eastern on ESPN+. Coming up, ESPN college basketball analyst Sean Farnham details why he's so excited to watch BYU and Big 12 basketball this season. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I'm Jason. He is Jerem in Kansas City. Let's get to today's headlines, which are sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Number 11, BYU football gets ready for Iowa State Saturday afternoon. Here's what defensive coordinator Jay Hill said about what sticks out about the Cyclones' offense.
This team has really good tight ends. So I love Rocco Beck's competitive nature. He can throw it, he can run it. He's really smart. Rarely does he go to the wrong spot with the ball. So, I mean, he looks like a guy that's played a lot of snaps in the Big 12 and started a lot of games.
Pre-game coverage begins at 1:30 Eastern time Saturday on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
BYU football's initial player availability report was released for the Iowa State game. Safeties Raider DeMooney and Tommy Prassis were listed as doubtful. Cornerback Jaden Dunlap was listed as probable, while wide receiver JoJo Phillips, running back Sione Moa, and corner Marcus McKenzie were ruled out.
BYU football head coach Kalani Sitake named one of 24 candidates on the midseason watch list for the 2025 Dodd Trophy yesterday. The Cougars have won 18 of their last 20 games going back to last season. They're one of six undefeated college football teams so far. And BYU quarterback Bear Bachmeyer moments ago named to the watch list for the Manning Award. Bachmeyer's been responsible for 1,800 yards and 17 total touchdowns this season.
Tyler Batty and the Minnesota Vikings traveling to the West Coast to LA to play the Chargers tonight on Thursday Night Football. Batty made his NFL debut last week and recorded a tackle.
Yegor Demin made his NBA debut last night for the Brooklyn Nets in a 136-117 loss on the road against the Charlotte Hornets. He scored 14 points on 4 of 6 from 3, adding 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. He's the first Cougar to play in an NBA game since Elijah Bryant with the Bucks back in 2021.
Number 17, women's volleyball is on the road for a top 20 matchup at number 19, Baylor, tonight in Waco. BYU 4-3 in league play, while Baylor is 6-3. Coverage begins tonight, 8 Eastern, and you can check it out on ESPN+.
Big one for the Cougs, Shep. Women's soccer's Ellie Walbrook was named the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Week after recording her first career hat trick and win over Arizona last week. Mia Getchy was named Big 12 Freshman of the Week after scoring her fourth goal of the season against Colorado. Walbrook, Getchy, and the rest of BYU women's soccer host Kansas on senior night tonight at Southfield. Coverage begins at 9 Eastern on ESPN+.
BYU freshman men's golfer Kihei Akina tees off today in the Bank of Utah Championship PGA Tour event. Former Cougars Patrick Fishburne, Zach Blair, and Carson Lindell also tee off this morning.
Our boy Sean Farnham was in Kansas City at Big 12 Basketball Media Days and is excited to watch the league this season. A.J. DiBonsa, Richie Saunders, Rob Wright III and the boys, and the talented Cougars and what they can do this year. He was also excited when I told him that a million Cougar tails had been sold all time. Here's my conversation with Sean Farnham from yesterday. Here we are, Big 12 Media Days. How you feeling, Sean?
I feel great, man. I'm excited to be with you. I just have to say to all of BYU Nation, I appreciate all the support. I appreciate all the people that come up to me at airports because, like, you guys have maybe, I think, as famous as, like, ESPN has, because your following to this program is, like, so legit.
I appreciate that. You are on the worldwide leader, the mothership. I would like to point that out. But we're glad that we could help.
I mean, I've met a couple parents. There was a guy that actually followed me on Instagram yesterday. He's at the Salt Lake City airport. He's, like, walking around. I'm going to pull up my Instagram because I want to give him a shout-out for, like, following me on, like, Instagram. I felt like, you know, he's a really nice guy. Trevor Jensen, it was nice meeting you and your kids. It was really nice.
Shout-out, Trevor. That's awesome. Okay, Big 12 basketball.
Yep.
Obviously, Houston comes in at number one. BYU got number two in the preseason poll. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, because I think, as we mentioned when I joined you last time in studio, it was before I saw the team practice, and I believe that this team is going to be good enough to get there. And I think that they've earned the right to be at that positioning to start the season. Now they got to go prove it with how they play out on the court. And I would say coming off that exhibition game, the biggest concern would be at the defensive end. They need to make their opponents feel them. They need to be more disruptive. That was not the case in their exhibition game. But I think you saw offensively the firepower that this team has.
What other storylines are you interested in seeing today and throughout the season in the Big 12?
Well, I think the Big 12 has the best two freshmen in the country. Obviously, Cam Boozer is going to probably scream about something about that at what he's doing, going to do at Duke this year. But I think Darren Peterson and A.J. DiBonsa are two of the most electrifying freshmen in the country. And the Big 12 has 7 out of the top 14 recruits nationally coming in this year. So it's loaded, and it's spread out amongst multiple programs and multiple teams too. When you think about the 8 McDonald's All-Americans, you've got Cincinnati has one, Houston has 2, Arizona has 2, obviously you have 1, Kansas has 1, Baylor has 1. So it's spread out too. So the influx of new talent is unique in that regard. I think the other thing is that what transfers mold and gel quicker. Transfers are something that we're going to be talking about every year in college basketball. That's not going to change. And so how do those personalities mold together to become a cohesive group? I mean, you look at a team like K-State, they went out and got 2 conference players of the year to join their roster this season. Cool. But how do they come together and play as a group? Because I think a lot of that goes into the unknown. And I think a lot of these media polls, to be honest, have a lot of unknown information about it. As far as who are these teams, who are they now, who are they going to be by the time it gets to January or February?
How do you feel like Richie Saunders' role will change? Because certainly a player like AJ is different. And then Rob Wright III is a different player than Yegor Diomon.
I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to get a ton of wide open shots because of those two guys. You've got a very downhill attacking Robert Wright. You've got a multi-skill set of A.J. DiBonsa who's not going to force anything. And so as long as he's relocating on the outside, he's going to get a lot of clean looks, and I expect him to hit a very high percentage of his three-point shots over the course of the season. It would not surprise me if he hits 90 to 100 three-pointers this year.
What do you expect from BYU in terms of what they hope to do? And last year they looked at the non-conference schedule and said, we got to be way better so that we can get a top 4 seed. And they've certainly got a schedule to do it.
Yeah, I think when you look at the schedule, I think they're going to take losses. As I mentioned in the studio, this is not going to be a clean sheet. But it's going to be something that they get exposed. And I think what you want to see in your non-conference is the ability to be exposed to strengthen your weaknesses by the time you get to conference play. And I think that's what this schedule in particular is going to allow Kevin Young and this program to do. Now, with that being said, what it also does is it allows you to have better quality strength as far as your non-conference strength of schedule, which was in the 300s last year. It's not going to be that this year, which then should enhance the opportunity to get better seeding come Selection Sunday, which gives you a clearer path for a long tournament run, potentially a run to the Final Four to Indianapolis. And I think that's the long-term vision of why you make a schedule like they've made this year.
You always struggled a bit last year at the beginning and then, really punched through with a nice 9-game win streak late, so perhaps it's that. Let's finish with this. At the BYU-Utah football game, and they announced that they had sold 1 million Cougar Tails all time. Your thoughts on the legacy and the future of the Cougar Tail?
I think there's a partnership potentially with me and the Cougar Tail that I'm going to start to explore. You know, for a long time there was a flatbread in a city, and that's been great to me. But I think it's time that I invest more in the Cougar Tail. And I see that day coming. in the near future. And I'm going to call on my friends, Jerem and Spencer, to help me with that. And we're going to make some magic happen. I think we got a million Cougar tails. Why not sell 2 million by the time we start next year?
Let's be ambitious. And Sean,
right, your football team's undefeated and just beat Utah. So I think ambitiousness is something that BYU is very much so focused on right now, whether it's football, basketball, hair gel. I mean, one of the same.
He's a fan of carbohydrates. Back to you in the studio.
Very nice. If you missed any of our interviews from Big 12 Basketball Media Day, you can subscribe to the BYU Sports Nation YouTube channel, where you can find them anytime you want on demand. All right, still to come, ESPN college basketball analyst Seth Greenberg breaks down what he thinks of AJ DeBonsa and BYU basketball and the state of the Big 12 Conference. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
BYU fans have the goal and expect a Final Four with this roster?
Yes, you have a big three, Robert Wright, AJ, and Richie. I think the anticipation should be high. They could be at the Final Four next year, and it should not be a surprise to anybody.
Welcome back to Kansas City and BYU Sports Nation live after BYU Big 12 Basketball Media Days here in Kansas City at T-Mobile Center. Seth Greenberg, one of the top ESPN analysts in college basketball. You can catch him in the studio as well as on College Game Day. Perhaps in Provo, I'm hoping. We talk about that, AJ DeBonsa, this BYU team, expectations, and more from my conversation with Seth yesterday. All right, Seth, how would you describe the vibe at Big 12 Media Day?
Vibe is a big word these days. You know, I don't know what vibe means. I mean, is it people are fired up? What's the feeling? Enthusiasm. Every media day, it's enthusiastic. It's exciting. It's, you know, you're looking forward to the future. Everyone's undefeated. Everyone's, you know, been in practice. Have things as a coach you're kind of concerned about, but things as a coach you're really excited about. And when you're putting together a new group of players and you're coming up with kind of a plan of who are we and how do we win individually, collectively, it's an exciting time of the year. And media day, it's a necessary evil. It's not like the coaches are going, oh, wow, we get to go to media day. Now the players, it's a great experience for them. They get a chance to see their peers. They get a chance to talk about their teams. There's great storytelling. But this is a great time of the year. The best thing about media day is what follows it. Because, you know, once media day hits, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be throwing that thing up for real.
Houston, the clear number one in the league. BYU came in at number two. Did you agree with that assessment in the coaches poll, BYU at number two?
I don't even worry about preseason predictions, whether it's the top 25 before the season starts or a league, because you look at these teams and they're all rebuilt. There are so many teams with 5, 6, 7-plus new players. So, like, to me, they're all works in progress. It's a fact-finding mission right now. So, look, media polls are for the fans to create interest, which is really good. Do I think BYU is really good? Yeah, I think they're really talented. They're really well coached, and they play a great style of basketball. And AJ is a matchup nightmare, and Rob Wright can get in the lane and make plays. And, you know, Richie Saunders is going to make a good number of the shots he takes and has a great feel. So could they be number two? Could they be number one? I'm not sure, because once the ball goes up, a lot of stuff happens, and the season's a journey. It's not a destination. There are roadblocks and detours along the way, and how you navigate those things will determine how these teams kind of finish. Like, they're all going to face adversity. And you guys know, you guys covered this for a long time. You know, adversity lives with the strong. It visits the weak. All right? So, I mean, it visits the weak, I should say, and lives with – as you know what I'm trying to say, I'm getting a little backward there. But this thing comes down to how does a team deal with adversity throughout the season? When you're playing the Big 12, you're going to play back-to-back road games. You're going to face some adversity. How does your team respond to that in practice the next day? Do they have a hangover? So, to me, BYU is one of those teams that has a chance to win the league. It's one of those teams that has a chance to make a deep run in the NCAA tournament. It's one of those teams that is hard to prepare for because they're spacing and they're shot making, and they've got really talented players and excellent coaching.
What other teams in the league are you interested in watching this year?
Texas Tech is really interesting to me. Christian Anderson, what a summer he had, obviously. JT is terrific. Their style of play is hard to play against. They're a team. Darren Peterson, obviously. at Kansas. I had a chance to watch him practice the other day. Very quiet player in terms of verbally, but obviously dynamic offensively, and it looks like they're going to put the ball in his hands a great deal, almost as a playmaker, what I call a ball guard. They're going to be fun to watch. But the thing about this league is there's no rocking chair games. There's no get healthy games. You know, if you don't play well, you're not going to win. So you go across the board, and you've got a lot of varied styles. Now, there's a lot of teams that keep you on the sideline defensively, but there's a lot of varied styles offensively. So to me, games aren't games in this league. They're events. Great ownership with the fan bases, terrific coaches, really good players. So, I mean, to me, the Big 12 is a league that, you know, quite honestly, if you're not ready to play, you're going to get run.
What's the chance we see game day in Provo this year?
I don't make those decisions. That's way above my head. But if they're there, I'll be there. And I think it'd be great. I mean, Marriott Center's, I mean, just watching it on TV, it's an incredible, incredible atmosphere. You know, when I was at Long Beach State, we played at Utah State. And, you know, the Spectrum, they had great ownership with their fan base. I mean, it just, and I think that's one thing about, you know, the state of Utah, and obviously BYU especially, they love the ball. They love ball. And there's passionate, fanatical ownership of their team. And the games aren't games, they're events. The fans aren't fans, they're engaged in the game. There's great ownership. So I think it would be a great environment, obviously, to go to game day. Game day, obviously, you do it for television, but having a unique atmosphere, I would be shocked. Let me ask you, if we brought game day to Provo, would there be 20,000 in there?
It'd be pretty good. Big noon kickoff with Fox. Had a good showing Saturday for football. BYU-Houston, February 7th is the one I've targeted. Maybe a top 10 matchup?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll let our people know. The people that are well above my pay grade, I just talk ball, man. I mean, I talk ball. I'll tell you, like, what they're going to do, how they're going to do it, how they're going to guard ball screens, you know, what are the keys to the game. And I'll let those people that understand those numbers. But I would think BYU would be a great environment, and I think it would rate well. When I was at Virginia Tech, we played BYU when Coach Rose was there, and he's a dear, dear friend. Love him to death. And it was at our place, and it was during the holiday break. And I'll tell you one thing: there were, because we were sold out, but they freed up the student tickets because our students were out. There must have been 2,000 BYU fans in the stands, and you know, it was a great game, actually a terrific game in a great environment. So I understand the passion and energy and ownership of the BYU faithful, and that's what college is all about. I mean, it's really what it's all about, and I think it's great that they're in this conference, and I think the conference has incredible leadership, and you guys have got, I always say, investment equals expectation. BYU is invested in college athletics at using it as a platform, which is smart, and the results are very, very real. I mean, this team has got a chance to be really special.
Well, thanks for the time, Seth, and best of luck on the coverage.
Thank you.
Senior Mackenzie Vance and the Cougar women's soccer team host Kansas on senior night tonight, 9 Eastern time on ESPN+. Plus, the Cougars are in 8th place in the Big 12. The top 8 go to the Big 12 tournament. 3 games to go in the regular season. It is a big game. After the break, a rising shout-out to Yegor Dioman's debut in the NBA. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Our question of the day is this. BYU lost to Kansas after beating Utah last year. Do you believe it will be different this year at Iowa State? All right, our elite voice of the day is presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory. And it's Summer X at Trenton Do 64. Just feels different this year. Does it mean they'll win? I don't know, but I expect them to come out with much more fire and passion this year than they did against Kansas. Amen to that. All right, today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about Yegor Dioman, 14 points in his debut for the Brooklyn Nets. Excited for him, shooting the three well. That's what we expect, and he's doing great. So far, so good.
Yep, game one. Looking forward to the rest of the season for Yegor. All right, our thanks to today's guests, Jason Benetti, Sean Farnham, and Seth Greenberg. The conversation continues 24-7 on Instagram and Facebook. All of our shows are on demand. You can check them out at BYUSN.com. For Jerem, I'm Jason. Shout out to Luke Worthington. Back tomorrow, noon Eastern, for more BYU Sports Nation. Go Cougs!